All right, so I want to just quickly touch on what decent work is, look at the proposed directive on corporate sustainability due diligence, and then consider what the alternatives are. So decent work, we know it's broadly accepted. It's been set out in ILO Declaration on Fundamental Principles and Rights of Work, and it's also been recognized in other relevant instruments in the realm of business and human rights, which is where the proposed directive on corporate sustainability comes from. But there are challenges to decent work, which we've already, I think, seen in the previous speeches. And thanks to Matthias's book, which make it very difficult to achieve decent work, even within nation states, let alone where the work is cross-border. And we've already seen this, but the dominance of intermediaries that have the right to implement unilateral changes, the fact that it's cross-border, and the fact that it's difficult to classify either an employer or an employee because of the distribution of responsibility. So it's often not clear if there is an employer or if there's somebody who's employer-like or what kind of employee it might be as well. I'm not going to focus too much on those factors because I'm jumping into the realm of business and human rights. But what I want to stress is that the reason that we're having this search is because national labour law systems are struggling to address these types of work arrangements. So, the question is, will the proposed EU directive on corporate sustainability due diligence help? And given that, as we've just seen, the proposed directive on for gig work has failed, then at the moment, this is kind of what we're left with. So it certainly addresses decent work, but there's no explicit reference to digital platform work, cloud work. It's certainly not precluded. It should be covered because it just covers work, but it doesn't cover it well. And I think that the key takeaway, really, from all of the presentations so far, but particularly the one that I want to drum home here, is that unless systems are set up in a way that specifically addresses the dynamics and the arrangements of gig work and cloud work that's trans-border, then it's probably unlikely to be effective. It really needs to be tailored to address these problems. But just quickly to give you an overview, so the directive, which seems like it's going ahead, is primarily a human rights due diligence directive when it comes to work. So it places an obligation on member states to ensure that companies, and it's just the very, very largest companies, that they identify actual or potential adverse human rights impacts, including a failure to kind of decent work deficits, but it's more likely to be the more egregious types. An obligation on companies to prevent potential adverse human rights harms and to take appropriate measures to bring them to an end. And that's kind of that's the main focus, that and reporting, and states, member states will implement it in a way which is appropriate for their settings. It's also possible to make complaints. So member states will have an obligation to ensure that companies provide a possibility to submit complaints. They're also, there's no requirement for supervisory authorities to set up systems to hear substantiated concerns, and then there's a requirement for there to be sanctions. So it's looking a bit like a combination of the French and German legislative approaches. And that means that we can look to what's happened in France and Germany so far, for example, with the French due vigilance legislation, to see whether it's likely to be helpful for the types of workers that we're interested in. And the concern is really that so far there hasn't been a successful claim made in relation to decent work. So there's been complaints lodged under the French system, that's through civil claims. In the German system, that's a complaint with the supervisory authority, but we haven't had any successful outcomes yet. And most of the claims are not to do with workers, they're other types of human rights breaches. So the kinds of shortcomings that are a concern, and which is why this is probably not going to be hugely helpful for digital or cloud workers. First of all, that in reporting and complaints, because there's it's not designed for these kinds of workers, unless there's specific guidance, which is possible under the Act, that the EU can provide specific guidance, or that member states can set up industry schemes. Unless that happens, there's probably unlikely to be much assistance provided by this. But the possibility of setting up industry schemes is really interesting, and I think one that should be taken forward after the directive, or when the directive is passed. And another really big problem is that there isn't any support of collective rights or of cross-border value chain collective bargaining. And I'm going to come to this a little bit more later. It's difficult to make complaints. There hasn't been a complaint, for example, without a huge amount of work by an NGO or a body based in the EU. So for a group of workers working in the Philippines, for example, it's very hard to know how they would possibly know to make a complaint through these systems, and how, when they're already disenfranchised and there are power imbalances, they might come to make such a complaint, particularly where that complaint, for example, in the French system, has to be a civil claim, which means there's really a lot of work that has to be done in terms of building evidence. Because it's EU-based, it doesn't empower the nations where the work is outsourced. So it doesn't, for example, act as a complement between member states based in economic north and south. And as a consequence, it has been charged with neocolonialism and extending corporate agency. So what are the alternatives that seem to be forthcoming elsewhere? Well, there's the ILO and there's the UN. And so far, again, drawing on Matthias's work, ILO instruments don't sufficiently acknowledge the role of intermediaries. They're just not yet able to address this issue. And so we really need something tailored to addressing this. There is a draft UN Business and Human Rights instrument, which has stronger liability provisions than the proposed EU directive. It's unlikely to go anywhere. The EU, for example, is not supporting it. It's come from South Africa and Ecuador, and mainly supported by countries in the economic south. But it could be helpful if it were passed. The ILO governing body in next year will discuss standards related to decent work on the platform economy, And I know that the global union movement is working towards that and drafting a convention, which they hope to table. The alternative that could kind of address this issue is a convention on decent work in global supply chains. Again, the problem is that it's thinking more about a chain rather than a platform. But certainly I think there would be elements there that would be helpful and transferable. So I have been involved in drafting such a convention, and the things that might be helpful for gig workers are facilitating collective bargaining framework agreements, that the ILO would facilitate these, facilitating legally binding and enforceable cross-border agreements between workers, a far more expansive kind of architecture for cross-border coordination between member states, dispute resolution resolution procedures, and the factor which is kind of favored, I think, at the most at the moment for platform work is a certification and licensing system. So in terms of that system, the idea is that every member state would establish an effective system for inspection and certification. So it's using the ILO inspection instruments and building on them to create a certification system. And I don't want to go into it too much because I want to leave space for questions and discussion. But the idea is that each country would be responsible for implementation of obligations in relation to inspection and certification, either for platforms established or situated in its territory, or who habitually carry out work in its territory. So it's trying to get to it both ways there. And big questions about choice of law that then need to be resolved, but again, nothing I want to go into. But really to end, I think it's a shame that the ILO has been lagging, is behind initiatives in the EU, because it's so important that the countries where work is being outsourced to are involved far more substantially. And it's really only through a multilateral organization like the ILO that that's possible. And instead we're seeing far more happening, for example, at the EU level, where that just isn't possible. Thank you.